Welcome to AI to AI, that is Appreciative Inquiry to Artificial Intelligence, a podcast series exploring the significance of appreciative inquiry, talent management, ethics and governance in the AI era, coaching-driven habit formation, creativity and adaptability. In today's fast-paced, technology-driven world, organizations must evolve quickly to remain competitive. While many focus on fixing problems, appreciative inquiry shifts the approach to identifying strengths and building on what already works. Combined with real-time strategic change, this enables organizations to make swift, collective decisions while engaging all levels, resulting in lasting transformation. The significance of organizational transformation in gaining sustained competitive advantages has grown significantly in India since the economic liberalization of the 1990s. This importance has only intensified with the rapid advancement of technology. However, achieving organizational transformation in public sector companies in developing countries is challenging. Governments have obligations towards various societal groups, and unions often play a predominant role. Anyone passionate about implementing process excellence in a public sector environment must engage in extensive dialogue with unions and bureaucrats. Although I have not worked in public sector companies, I had an interesting experience while relaunching the Total Productive Maintenance at a factory in Rallis India Limited. In 2003, the company suffered significant losses, leading management to take drastic measures, including discontinuing all external consultants to cut costs. As a corporate quality head, I was tasked with continuing process excellence across 5 factories. The most challenging was the relaunch at the Mumbai factory, where the union was upset and completely opposed to the TPM initiative previously facilitated by consultants. I met with the union leaders and asked them about the problems they had with TPM. From their frustrations and strong resistance, I realized they had a very negative experience with the implementation. They viewed TPM as a mere distraction. I then asked, "Are you aware of the recent major accidents? Have you visited the workplace? There are large quantities of spilled acids and chemicals on the floor, creating unsafe working conditions. The drains are clogged with more acids than water. The roads are in poor condition, and the store is cluttered with used acid cans and broken bicycles." The union leaders agreed that these issues reinforced their concern. I then convinced them that I would help implement changes to create a safer workplace and a well-organized store within 3 to 4 months' time. They agreed with the condition that if I failed to improve safety, I would halt the TPM movement. Within the next year, the Mumbai factory received the British Safety Award, and I earned warm recognition from the union. When our purposes genuinely align, we can achieve remarkable results. Today, I am joined by Birendra Kumar Tiwari, a passionate industry leader.
So since everything is dynamic, so you cannot afford not to assess yourself across the timeline. So it's very important, and if you see the journey of Steel Authority in general, we have moved from a protected economy era to a very globally competitive era in which we are operating today practically. So if the company has survived 60 years seeing all sorts of transformations, it cannot take place or it cannot succeed if you are not assessing your organizational structures and various aspects which is important to sustain your business and to maintain your share in the market.
Birendra is the director in charge of Steel Authority of India Limited, Bokaro Steel Plant. He has highly process-oriented mindset. During his tenure as executive director works at Bokaro Steel Plant, he brought safety and quality to the forefront of all operations and services. His leadership was instrumental in debottlenecking crude steel production constraints, resulting in record production level across all units. Significant strides were made in new units like SMS and CRM3 with quantum jumps in output. As executive director Collieries, he successfully operationalized the Tasra coal mines and charted a strategic roadmap for securing long-term supplies of indigenous coking and power coal, leading to a 20% increase in the supply of coking coal to SAIL plants. Earlier, as chief general manager, coke ovens and byproduct plant, he used safety and housekeeping as critical management systems to improve production, quality, work culture, and drive sustainable growth. Under his guidance, production targets were consistently met and the performance of the shops saw a remarkable turnaround. In today's episode, I'll be gaining his insights on the significance of process excellence in Indian public sector environment. Now on to this insightful conversation with Birendra. Hello, Mr. Birendra Tiwari.
Hello, how are you?
Welcome to my podcast series.
Thank you.
Welcome to my podcast series, AI to AI, or Appreciative Inquiry to Artificial Intelligence. Well, this is the name is chosen based on, you know, the way I observed management focus shifting from people to technology, so to speak. Okay. However, people are arguing, people like Satya Nadella, he has actually argued in his book, A Hit Refresh, things like culture building, empathy and all have become very, very important in today's technology era. So, first of all, I extend again my heartfelt thanks for joining me on this episode.
Okay, thank you for giving me this opportunity to interact with you on the topics you have.
It's a great honor for me because you have a great wealth of experience of managing the integrated steel plant. That's a quite huge, so to speak. And as I know you, that you are a very process and people-oriented person as well. Tell me, in PSUs, do you use any organizational assessment framework to periodically look at the effectiveness of your business processes and their results to stay competitive?
Actually, you see, this organizational framework assessment is required across the business, whether it's a PSU or a private company or any multinational company, it hardly matters. Because business is business.
True.
And business is never working in a very static environment. So since everything is dynamic, so you cannot afford not to assess yourself across the timeline. So it's very important. And if you see the journey of Steel Authority in general, we have moved from a protected economy era to a very globally competitive era in which we are operating True. Today practically. So, if the company has survived 60 years seeing all sorts of transformations, it cannot take place or it cannot succeed if you are not assessing your organizational structures and various aspects, which is important to sustain your business and to maintain your share in the market.
Right.
So, that is a periodical exercise we are doing whenever we see that some changes we want to incorporate in across the organization to address the future threats which are emerging or future requirements which are emerging with respect to the business.
I see. So could you elaborate, could you expand on this framework? Because see, let me tell you, like Tata's, they are using Tata Business Excellence model, which is a TQM model and which is Malcolm Baldwin National Quality Award, word by word. Okay, so and there are other frameworks as well, like CII Exim Award, Ramakrishna Bajaj National Quality Award framework and all that. So that is why this question came to me. I was very curious to know that are you using any this kind of formal framework?
Yes. These frameworks are very prevalent in our organization. And if you see this entire TQM philosophy, we are adopting since last 20-25 years.
Okay.
And when this concept came and it started becoming popular, to improve the employee engagement, to boost, to have their participation in decision making, their participation in improvement in processes, or when we started to have focus on customer satisfaction and everybody should be aligned to organization goal, when such concepts emerged and got prominence in the entire manufacturing industry, we were also not left apart. So we have a business excellence wing in each and every plant who are aggressively looking all these things. And we have a number of such interventions to improve the employee engagement, various forums we have created.
Okay.
And across the country, our team is participating in such events, not only in India, but they are going to abroad also.
Okay, great, great. Very nice to know that. Okay, tell me, how do you see the continued relevance of traditional process excellence approaches like TQM, total productive maintenance, and lean in today's manufacturing landscape, especially in the backdrop of, you know, the way technology is growing?
Yes, you can say that technology is going to bring a lot of disruptions in the ongoing processes. But what I personally believe, that all these business excellence models, which we have been adopting since last 20-30 years, are not going to lose its relevance, whatever the technological tools or enablers are coming into the entire system. Because what I believe, that technology is not giving you an edge over others. Because either today or tomorrow, you are going to incorporate those technical tools and you are going to have that technical capability. But if your employees are not going to make a difference in use of this technology or in their behavior or in their by their culture, or then all these technological tools will not be effective. So it's very important, and I firmly believe that there is no substitute of employees' engagement and their involvement in the entire business process. So from that point of view, I don't find it to becoming irrelevant. But what I see, that all these technological interventions which are coming today, we are talking of IoT, we are talking of Industry 4.0, everything is going to be completely data driven, and this philosophy is also emerging, but it will never it is never going to undermine the importance of this culture building or this capability building across the organization.
Great. So, you know, there's a famous saying, you know, and this saying, this statement was made by management expert Peter Drucker. He said that culture eats strategy for breakfast, so to speak. So, but so what you're trying to suggest, that culture also eats technology for breakfast.
Yes, yes.
So you are clearly seeing the predominance of culture building and employee in any organization, for that matter.
Yes, yes. Actually, you see, what our aim is, that you should have your workplaces, it has to be future ready. Your workforce has to be future ready. So whatever technical skills you want to incorporate amongst them to take the future challenges, you have to do it. But as a culture, what we want to sustain is that people have firm belief in our core values. People should be aligned to the organizational goals. People must be in a position to address or to assess the challenges which are going to emerge in future, so that they will be proactive, and it will not be just a leadership intervention, but it will be, if it is going to be incorporated in the entire work culture, certainly the enablers, whatever enablers we identify, whatever enablers they are going to come into by in the forms of technologies, that will be utilized in a more efficient way.
That's great. And tell me, in country like India, where there is a vast population who do not have jobs, so to speak. Manufacturing is one area, as I think, that can address, you know, this providing job to the young folks especially. And there you are kind of, you know, as I learned from you, that you are very sure that this technology and all, okay, will sort of, you know, complement, but the importance of process excellence and employee satisfaction will remain.
Yes. That I firmly believe. When you must be remembering that when this computerization started, people were of the opinion that it is not good for a country like India, where computerization will make the people jobless. But later we found that this was an area which created more jobs for the Indians across the globe.
True.
So we don't know that whatever the technologies which are emerging and which are substituting the manpower, that can also create various domains where people will find job opportunities.
Right.
So that is too early to say that for a country like India, where manufacturing is the greatest job creator, this is going to make any difference. It's too early. But we have to see, if you see this total social aspect today, what I find with respect to my industry. My industry is a very harsh industry. They are working is not so very comfortable. Many technologies which we are still using in some of our units are too old. So that requires a lot of manual interventions.
Mm-hmm.
But what we find that the workforce which was ready to do such works is now that number is depleting very fast in spite of this fact that unemployment is increasing. So people, that section, the aspirations of employees or the job aspirants is also going to a new dimension, that is looking for a new dimension, and not it is not the same conventional job for which they are eager to do. So these technological interventions will never affect the employment opportunities, but considering the growth potential of this country, we must be very hopeful that is not going to be a problem if the development is taking place.
So it's a very interesting perspective, because, you know, I often talk to the CEOs of technology company, and they would kind of, you know, portray a very different kind of picture. Some of them are US based, so obviously whatever they are observing in US, so they create at times a scary picture. But here you are sort of, you know, suggesting that given the employment situation of our country, manufacturing would be of sort of, you know, great importance, and in manufacturing the process part, the people part would remain very, very important, so to speak.
Yeah.
Superb. Great. I am very tempted to sort of, you know the your contribution in co-COVID time, because I have come to know that during your co-COVID tenure, you did a superb job in terms of like TPM or autonomous maintenance, to be specific, housekeeping and all that. And under your leadership, the face of co-COVID got transformed. So why don't you walk us through that?
Actually, the turnaround of Cocovens in Bokaro is marked as a very phenomenal change in this organization, because that is one area where the working conditions were very difficult, not so comfortable working. It was having a lot of manual interventions, employee strength was too much, and people are working against some harsh conditions, so to keep them motivated becomes very difficult. And that too in an organization where a people who is working in township maintenance is getting the same wage,
right,
which he is getting in Cocovan. So it becomes very difficult to keep those people motivated.
True.
But as I have always believed, that if people are given the right mindset, they are taught the proper ways, and they are made accountable to their situation, certainly things will improve. So this confidence building was required, that yes, the things can be changed. The conditions which is very harsh to today, it will certainly change tomorrow. I remember very well that when I was a very young technocrat in Cocoman, and one day a senior officer came to me and he asked that, what is your vision about your department? So I told them that I want that this should be the most preferred place to work in this company.
Super, great. That's a great
idea.
So
people laughed very, that this is a very interesting narrative, that you want Cocoman to be the most preferred place to work. But later on, I formulated this vision for my department.
Wow.
And I made a roadmap that how it can be the most preferred place.
Great.
So it's, although the working conditions are harsh, but if the work environment you are able to make conducive, you are giving due importance to the people, you are addressing to their concerns, you are appearing to be fair to them, you are not becoming partial, then certainly things will change. And it has happened. I am very happy to inform you that today it is one of the best department in this organization.
Super.
And not only here, everywhere the face of Cocoman has changed in a tremendous way. So I visited some Cocomans of other industries also in India. I went to Tata Steel. I had an opportunity to go to some foreign companies also. And what I saw there, I firmly believe that it can happen in India also, and in my company also.
Great.
So that is what has been done, and it has been done only by keeping the people motivated and making their mindset positive.
Great. I mean, very sort of, you know, very happy to sort of, you know, listen to this this journey, so to speak, because I can imagine that, you know, what would be the condition of Cocoman initially, and thinking to sort of, you know, making it the most preferred place. That's a great. It needs a lot of boldness, so to speak, on leadership part.
Let us take a short break. When we come back from the break,
when people were offloaded such assignments, they were very eager to take it. And beyond my expectations, the people at lower level of hierarchy in the organization, they were coming with some nice suggestions, some nice ideas, doing some nice things for their people, and exhibiting exemplary performances. And that motivated me as a leader to propagate all such practices.
You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end.
Welcome back. Let us dive right back into the episode.
What are the kind of challenges organization can face to sustain, you know, this kind of same mindset or same culture or processes to keep the places like Cocoman the most preferred place, so to speak? Okay. And how to horizontally sort of deploy across the organization the same kind of mindset and culture?
No, I don't find it to be a very difficult or very challenging job. Once the people, initial breakthrough is somewhat a difficult assignment. But once you succeed and you achieve a certain level of accomplishment, after that it becomes very easy. I very well remember, initially I had to lead from front. I had to convince people. I had to exhibit how it can be done. What are the things which are possible? So gradually I found that when people were offloaded such assignments, they were very eager to take it. And beyond my expectations, the people at lower level of hierarchy in the organization, they were coming with some nice suggestions, some nice ideas, doing some nice things for their people and exhibiting exemplary performances. And that motivated me as a leader to propagate all such practices. I will give you an example.
Sure.
At one of the workplace, I found that some contract workers who were engaged in some temporary job, and they were taking their lunch in an open atmosphere. And suddenly some winds and storms came and their food was spoiled. So that hurt me very badly. And I realized that a man who is working so hard for this bread and butter,
right,
if it gets spoiled because I have not provided a nice place where he can take his meal, it's really unfortunate.
Right. True.
So I decided that we should do something for this. The moment I shared my idea, within 15-20 days, from a number of sections of that department, people came to me and they told me that we have made such arrangements year, where so many people can sit, can take their breakfast, can take their rests. So such restrooms were created by the people with their internal resources without taking any external support for those contract workers who are very temporary in nature. So that impressed me in such a big way that I realized that you have to just sow the path to the people, and you have to motivate them, you have to strike at the right nerves, and people will certainly become sensitive to all the issues. And once it is true for the business challenges also, it also true for the process improvement also, it also true for any initiative you are looking for in any organization, either it's managing your costs, managing your profits, everything.
Super, great. Yes, I mean, I can clearly relate with what you're saying. Because I have personally sort of, you know, gone through the similar kind of experience while working with Tata. Tell me, so what is the kind of scope you are seeing the technology, like, you know, artificial intelligence and IoT in particular, getting integrated with operational excellence tools like TQM or TPM and Lean, and becoming more and more effective, so to speak? Are you seeing any opportunity there? Are you having any discussion internally in this regard? If you could share with us.
Yes, I see a lot of opportunities. These technologies are going to be a very, I will say, a very good enablers for all TQM practitioners. I just want to say. Because in TQM, what we motivate people for? That they should challenge the status quo.
Right.
They should always believe that there is a better way of doing the things. There is a better process. There is a opportunity to improve the efficiency.
Right.
So that philosophy they have to rely on. So when you are working with that philosophy, you see the way the people used to identify their problem areas. Now these technological tools are going to assist them in a large way in identifying the exact problem areas where they have to work. So that is going to be a big advantage. Another big advantage is that solutions are not going to be so much time taking, because you have a lot of data with you. When you are working with that data, you are using this artificial intelligence or data interpretations through these tools. So certainly your root cause analysis is going to be very fast.
Okay.
So at one place it will help you in identifying the real issues. On the same time, it is going to help you in giving a better solution, more accurate solution, better preventive and corrective actions you are going to design in a shorter duration. So that is going to be a very good enabler for all these practitioners. On the same time, when you see that such tools are available, you will find more opportunities,
right,
to incorporate these technical interventions in your processes. So we are talking of digitalization. Hmm. Who will imagine the areas of these interventions? Mm-hmm. They are the people.
Yes.
And
if, true.
And people, when they are going to use these tools, it is going to be very effective in the entire, and the entire journey is going to be very fast. I see that the number of revisions of SOP and SMP is going to be very fast in coming days.
Correct. Right.
Entire some philosophies will also change. The scheduled maintenance is going to convert into predictive maintenance.
But how open are your people, so to speak, to embrace this new technologies, integration of technology with the processes, etc., etc.?
If you see the entire workforce and their distribution, we have also realized the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
That we have some young generation which is coming fresh from the colleges,
right.
either they are diploma holders or the engineers or in any other profession. They are very comfortable with these technologies,
right.
And they love to work in this direction,
right.
But the workforce which has not used such tools in their life, they are in senior positions, they are not so comfortable,
right.
But the philosophy nobody can deny. So our aim, as an enabler, we are giving to them that a lot of technical sessions we are organizing to upgrade their skills.
Okay.
So that they may be in a position to visualize the things in a better way, with some other perspective, and they can appreciate that how the things can change. And this young workforce, I have a number of examples in my plant. When young engineers who are coming and they have made a lot of digital interventions,
right,
without an assignment, without being a routine, without being their routine job, they have gone out of way with their own interest and with their own understanding of the things, and a number of digital interventions have been incorporated in the processes by the comparatively younger portion of the workforce.
Right.
So the young generation is very comfortable with us.
Okay.
We have to provide the necessary platform. In our organization also, we have prepared a roadmap of digitalization. We have appointed some consultants for creating a integrated roadmap for the company.
Right.
And this development of employees' skills and expertise is also one very important aspect which we have to address if we want to make it successful.
Okay, when you mentioned about the young workforce who are willing to sort of, embrace the new technology readily, because they are exposed to, they have read about it. The question came to my mind was that how are you managing the talent in your work environment, so to speak? So you could talk about the hiring process, you could talk about whatever appropriate in your context. You can talk about the training process, training and development process. You could talk about the incentivizing them, your promotional policies, etc., whatever appropriate.
In PSUs we have some limitations as far as promotions and other facilities are there. We cannot go beyond a certain boundary we cannot cross.
I know.
So that is going to be a very limited scope. By promoting people, we can encourage them to incorporate such things. What I see that the people who are not comfortable with these technologies, they have a very rich experience of processes.
Right.
And they have a very better understanding of the entire process.
True.
Now their knowledge has to be digitalized.
Okay.
So again, I find there is a synergy.
Oh, great.
So they are going to complement each other, and that environment we have to create. That is the process which we have to adopt, that how the rich experience of some portion of this workforce can be complemented with this technology friendly workforce. So how the both of them can come together and they can find a solution, they can find a better process control or whatever improvement we are looking for. So that is one area we are working. On the same time, we are also not a software technology company that we will have a large number of people who are very comfortable with such technologies. Mm-hmm. So certainly we are outsourcing some of such activities.
I see.
What I ask my people that you try to find out the areas where we need some digital interventions,
okay,
which are creating problem for us.
Hmm.
We can look into the market, what are the solutions available today.
Hmm.
And we can incorporate them.
Hmm.
There are a number of companies who are very aggressively working in these process improvement fields across the industries.
Hmm.
So we have interactions with them.
Right.
They normally come to us, we invite them, we have some sessions with those companies, how they are, what interventions they have done in other steel companies or other companies.
Right.
So they are coming with the probable areas of improvement or probable areas where the new technologies can be helpful,
hmm,
can make our processes more efficient, can reduce our costs. So that is giving one very good platform to our people to realize that in which direction the world is moving, where we have to go. So that is a multi-pronged strategy we are working upon.
I understand. Okay. Now tell me, you know, as manufacturing moves towards Industry 4.0, what adjustments or innovations are necessary in traditional processes, excellence methodology like TQM and all, okay, to ensure that they remain effective and relevant?
From that point of view, it's very important that what I said, that your workforce should be future ready. The people who are practicing these business excellence methodologies, if they are comfortable and if they have a fair knowledge of all the technological interventions which are going to take place, of all those tools which are available, all those data analytics solutions which are available in the market or which can be used, then it is going to be very useful. So that is one area where we have to see that how our workforce is going to be very comfortable with adopting all such interventions. On the same time, a number of areas where we are at, from the present level, we hope that we are doing well. But again, it has to be challenged from with the point of considering that a number of new tools are available today, new technologies are going to come.
Right.
How it can affect the processes in a better way. So that quest we have to generate amongst the people. And for this, what in my opinion is very important, that how our workforce interacts with their colleagues in other industries. So that is going to be a very important, because globally people are doing some new things here and there. If this knowledge sharing takes place, then it's going to be very useful for the entire industry. Because after all, industry as a whole has to become efficient.
That's
if
right.
We see the entire world order, becoming a one company, having certain edge over other, it is a one part. But some key challenges are there which has to be addressed across the industries.
True.
So from that point of view, this knowledge sharing across the industry is very important. So we have taken a lot of initiatives.
Okay.
We have developed a practice that there is an operating committee meeting of all the steel industries.
Oh, great.
On certain topics in which people from private industries, government industries, everywhere, they come to one particular unit. And on certain topic and issues, they discuss, they deliberate, they share their best practices and the interventions which they are doing. So that is going to be a very helpful tool for our employees also. So the we want to increase their exposure to the outside world. That should look beyond our organization. That is one area where we are working.
You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end.
Anything else or what else you'd like to add in the end?
Now at the end, I will just emphasize on the fact that technologies are always dynamic. So we have seen the era of statistical quality control.
Yes.
Today we are talking of data analytics, robotics, and everywhere.
True.
We day in, day out, we find that how machines are going to replace people.
Yes.
But we should believe that machines will never supersede human. And man is not a machine. Man cannot be governed by machine. He will like to be governed by a man, by a heart in his soul. And that is the philosophy of life. And no industry can ignore this. So whatever be the technological tools, we must believe on our people. We must work for our people.
Super.
Because we are working for people. We are not working for machineries. Machines should be a tool. And that philosophy should prevail.
Great.
And the culture, which organization needs culture if they want to sustain. They need firm belief in their core values. Technology can be a part, can be an enabler to achieve their vision, to achieve their targets, to achieve their objectives, but that cannot be the, it can never be supreme.
Very heartening, very, very heartening, very encouraging, very soothing to hear, so to speak, that leaders like you keep people and the culture at the core of the business. So thanks a lot, and we'll close our discussion now.
Thank you, Sanjay, for this nice conversation and having some fruitful discussion with you.
Great, thanks. Thank you for listening to my podcast, AI to AI, where we explore the significance of process excellence and people excellence in the age of artificial intelligence. If you like this episode, give us a thumbs up in your favorite podcast app and do subscribe to continue listening to upcoming episodes with industry experts. Feel free to connect with me through my website at www.sn10x.in and on LinkedIn, where you can find me under the tagline Molding Metal to Molding Minds.